Christ. There's a judgment day that is coming. There is a courtroom of God, and we will stand before the mighty judge. It says here in verse 11, it's a great white throne, and there's one who is seated on it. This great white throne gives us a picture, if you will, of the power of Jesus. Jesus, his throne is great. One of my favorite songs that's meant so much to me over the last several years is the song, Goodness of God. What a wonderful song. God is a good God. Is he not? I mean, Jesus is a good God. He loves us. He cares for us. His goodness is running after me. I mean, we have a good God. But don't you miss it. We also have a great God. He's good and he is also great. He is powerful. He is mighty. He stands alone at the top. He is the majestic, all-powerful, sovereign, righteous, great God. It says he has the great white throne. The throne of Jesus is a great throne. He is a great God, powerful. In the Bible, when we see white, often that's a symbol of righteousness and holiness. This is a great white throne. It's one that is, it depicts that Jesus is righteous, and he is. He is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly holy. He has no sin in him. He has no sin that's going to be in his presence. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. He is a holy, holy God, and he is a just God. Unfortunately, human judges aren't always just. Sometimes they make the wrong ruling. Sometimes a human judge has other motives behind what they are doing, but listen, Jesus is just in everything he does. Every judgment he makes is completely right and righteous and just. And so Revelation 20 says that Jesus is sitting on the great white throne, and he is going to judge those who come to stand before that throne. Now, how did we get here? Let me tell you really quickly, a little context is going to help us. Because last week what we talked about was that believers, those who have faith in Jesus, are going to be raised. There's going to be a resurrection. And we said that we call that the rapture. That one day, before the literal 7-year tribulation takes place on this earth, that Jesus is going to step out onto the clouds, and he's going to call his children home to be with him. And what we saw was what's going to happen is first, those who are dead in Christ, they've been buried in a grave, they've died, that Jesus is going to call them, and they are going to be raised from the graves. They're going to be given a glorified body, and they're going to meet Jesus in the air, and they're going to go with Christ to heaven. And it says that those of us, if Jesus was to come later this afternoon, and we were not dead yet, that those of us in Christ who have not died, after those have come out of the graves, we too will instantly be transformed and given a glorified body, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and we will go with him. And then that's going to initiate the 7-year tribulation on this earth. It's going to be a terrible time on this earth, but God's going to use that time to call people to himself and bring the Jewish people back to himself, and there's going to be revival and there's going to be salvation, but we will be with the Lord during that time. And then at the end of the 7-year tribulation, what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 19, you can see it there, Jesus is going to return. And he's going to be mounted up on a white horse. And the armies of heaven are going to be coming with him. And who are the armies of heaven? Well, that's you and me who are in Christ. We will be coming with Jesus. We will be riding shotgun with him as he comes to put an end to his enemies. and to make all things right in this world. At the end of those 7 years, here he comes, here we come with him. And then what happens is all of his enemies have gone away. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. All of this is done. And what happens is Jesus says, I am establishing my reign on this earth. And for 1,000 years, here's what the Bible calls it, the millennial reign of Christ. For 1,000 years, Jesus will reign on this earth as king, with all of those who have believed in him, who have been raised and resurrected and been given those glorified bodies, will be with him on this earth for 1,000 years. So all the mess that you see now, one day will be fixed. But the only person that's going to fix it is King Jesus. I like Jerusalem Grill. Does anybody know about that place? All right. Took my sister-in-law there last night. They want to go to Jerusalem Grill. And we were sitting in that place, and there's an awesome picture on the wall of the holy city of Jerusalem. And so we were talking about it. The kids all started talking about, what's that big gold building right there in the middle? And so I started explaining a little bit to them. They didn't know what they were getting into when they got me started off on all that. All right, and so I started talking to him about hey, that is the location where the temple of God used to be. And in 70 AD, it was destroyed. And at some point along the way, the Muslims, say, put up the Dome of the Rock there. And that's the most holy site on planet Earth, right there. And the Bible says when Jesus returns, there's going to be a new temple there that he's going to come back to this earth, and he's going to walk into the temple, and for 1,000 years, he will reign on the throne in the temple of Jerusalem. On this earth, that is what's going to happen. Jesus will do that. And so all of this is taking place. 1,000-year millennial reign takes place, and at the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus is going to now establish a new heaven and a new earth. We're talking about what's going to be there for the rest of all eternity, the new heaven and new earth that you and I who believe in Jesus will experience, this new heaven and new earth forever and ever and ever. But before then, there will be this resurrection. There will be this judgment of every person who has turned their back on God and has said, I will not trust and believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so this is a judgment day that is coming. You say, how do you know that Jesus is the one that the Bible talks about being seated on the great white throne? Well, Jesus is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And John chapter 5 verse 22 says this, just listen. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. So it says in John that all judgment has been given to the Son, that Jesus is the one who will judge. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for people to die once, and after this, the judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Now, as we think about this judgment, and as we think about the trial that takes place in judgment, I want to quickly help us understand that there are two judgments. So I don't want you to leave here confused this morning. There are two different judgments that the Bible teaches us about. And so the first judgment that I want us to think about is the judgment of the saved. The judgment of the saved. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. This is different than the great white throne judgment. We see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says here, and I'm going to turn there. I told you you wanted your Bible today. So you can take notes, you can write this down. That's why we have a place for notes there in your bulletin. Maybe you bring a notebook. That's a good idea. You need to, you know, take notes so that you can write this down. You can go back and study it for yourself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, listen to this. We are confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, we are confident and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. And so this is talking about that we would prefer to be with Jesus. But if we're not going to be with Jesus in heaven right now, then we're right here. And when we're not there with Him and we're right here where we are, what do we need to be doing as Christians? Well, He says we should make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. So how are we living our life as Christians? Are we living our life to be seen by others, to please other people? Are we living our life to please Jesus? Who are we living for? What are you living for today? He says we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Look, listen to verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. There it is again. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here, Paul is talking about the judgment that believers will go through when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. Now, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, that is where our lives will be judged and our works will be judged on what we did for the Lord, what we didn't do for the Lord, what motives did we have in what we were doing for the Lord. Were we doing things to be seen by others? Were we doing things for the Lord? What was our heart? The Bible says God knows our heart, why we do what we do. How do we serve Him? So we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Why? Because one day we will stand before Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Because you may have just missed what I said. One day, we who are saved will stand before Jesus for the way we've lived our life here on this earth. Every single one of us. How have we been a steward of what God has given us? How have we been a steward of the life that Christ gave us? How have we served Him? This is not a judgment of your sin. Let me say that again. At the judgment seat of Christ for believers, we don't stand before Jesus and He is judging us to see, does this person enter into heaven or not? Has this person been forgiven or not? Has this person been good enough? No, that's not what the judgment seat of Christ is. No, here's why we know that. Because it says here, we're being judged based on what we've done in our life. And the Bible says that our sin has already been judged. Now, when was our sin already judged? I'm going to tell you when. Our sin was judged 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross and He died there and He shed His blood and He cried out, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Right then and right there, Jesus paid it all. The entire penalty for your sin was judged in the righteous, holy, awesome, powerful man, Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so that's where our sin was judged. If we have to stand before God and God look at us and us have something to offer Him to say, hey, I've been good enough to get in heaven. I've got bad news for all of us. None of us are going to be in heaven. It's got to be judged in Jesus. And praise God, our sin has been judged in Jesus. So we don't stand there and we're judged and see if our sin has been forgiven. No, this is a judgment to our rewards in heaven, or lack there of rewards. So make no mistake about it, we all are going to have a judgment, okay? But this talks in Revelation about the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, the judgment of the unsaved, every unsaved person. Look at it with me again. Verse 11, he says, I saw the great white throne, and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. It says, I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Who of the unsaved are going to stand at the great white throne judgment? Here's who. Every unsaved person will stand before the great white throne judgment. The great and the small. Let me put it in other terms for you. It doesn't matter if you were a president or the king of some country. If you were some billionaire or highly successful person, it doesn't matter how great you think you are or how great the world thinks you are. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to stand in judgment before him on that day. He says both the great and the small. And so even that lowly person, the homeless, the person who has nothing, the person that was overlooked and nothing really could be said about their life, the great and the small, every person who does not have Jesus as their Savior will stand in condemnation and judgment at the great white throne judgment. It says in this verse 12 that books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. And so you got a picture here of the courtroom of God. There Jesus is on the throne, and there are books opened up all over the place, and people are giving an account for their life, and they are being judged as they're being condemned because they have not trusted in Jesus Christ. And this is a terrible, frightening picture. Every sin of a person is revealed at the great white throne judgment. There is not one single sin that anyone is going to get away with. Every sin will be revealed. God is keeping a record of all that sin. And those books are going to be opened up. God knows what other people know. God knows even the secret sins that you think no one knows about. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. And he says the trial begins and every sin is revealed. In this great white throne judgment, there is no jury. There is no defense for your sin. It is too late at this point. That's why you can't get to this point. You must today surrender your life to Jesus. But don't miss it. Don't miss what it says here. It says there was another book opened, which is the book of life. And if you'll read on down at verse 15, it says, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. There's all of these books that are keeping a record of all the sins of all these lost people, but listen to what the Bible says. He says, there's also a book of life. And what the Bible says is that if you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, your sin was judged in Jesus on the cross, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me say it more clearly for you. If you are saved today, your name is currently written in a book in the throne room of heaven called the Book of Life. Your name is written down right there, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 that your name will never be erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm so thankful that when I trusted in Jesus for salvation, that God made a promise that He would keep me and He would save me, and I could never lose that salvation because He grabbed me from the mud and the muck and the sin of my life. He placed me in His hand and He's got a hold of me and He will never let go. And the same is true for you. If you trust in Jesus, He will save you. And He will never let you go. Your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no eraser on God's pencil. He doesn't have a pen that has an eraser on the end. He writes it down and it is never, ever erased. And so He says here that there's this great white throne judgment, and every person whose name is not written in the Book of Life, you know where they're going to stand? They're going to stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Is your name today in the Lamb's Book of Life? You need to ask yourself that question. You need to surrender your life to Jesus while He's calling you to Himself. Now, He says here in verse 13 that the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Here's where we see the resurrection of the unsaved. The unsaved dead, they are raised unto judgment. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 5, and I want you to see what Jesus says in John chapter 5. Verses 27 and 29, listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 5, verse 27, and He has granted him the right to pass judgment because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. You see, there's coming a resurrection unto condemnation. Last week we saw the resurrection unto life, to glory, to be with Jesus, to spend eternity with Him, experience the goodness of heaven in this glorified body, and see all that God has prepared for us in that new heaven and that new earth. But the Bible says there's a resurrection of the unsaved lost, those who have been refused to surrender to Christ. And that person's going to be raised up, the Bible says, unto condemnation. And what is this condemnation? Well, it says the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each one was judged according to their works. So this resurrection isn't a resurrection to life. This isn't a resurrection into a glorified body. This is a resurrection into a body that is going to be prepared to expend eternity separated from God in the place called the lake of fire, the place of hell. Forever separated, condemned, their names were not found written in the book of life. We got to make it clear today Heaven is a real place. Jesus is coming again. One day, we will spend eternity with Christ in the new heaven and the new earth, and it is going to be real and it's going to be awesome. But we must not overlook the fact that there is also a real place called hell. And it's not God's desire to send you to that place. He prepared it for the devil and his demons. But if you refuse Jesus, you will be raised up, stand in judgment, be condemned, and cast down to the place of hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever and ever, separated from him because you refused to trust in Jesus. The Bible gives us this truth, that there are either two births or there are two deaths. Did you know that? There are either two births or there are two deaths. Here in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the second death. Do you see it there in verse 14? Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If we all know that death is a reality, that unless Jesus comes and takes us before we die, all of us will experience death. If you know Jesus, that's the only death you will ever experience. But if Jesus is not your Savior, it says here, you will experience a second death. You will be raised, you will be condemned, and you will be cast into the place called the lake of fire. And the Bible says there, that will be called the second death. In John chapter 3, there was a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And what happened was, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, this is what you must do. You must be born again. You must be born again. What does that mean? That means you have to have two births. Each of us in here have all been born, have we not? That's right. Our mamas brought us into the world, and we love our mamas. And we were born. And Nicodemus says, God, how can I be saved? What must I do to be forgiven and to have eternal life? What must I do to spend eternity in heaven with you? And here's what Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, do I enter my mother's womb a second time and be born again? Jesus, this doesn't make sense. How can I be born again? He says, Nicodemus, do you not understand what I'm saying? You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, when you come to Jesus by faith and you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I trust in you that you are born again spiritually, that Jesus transforms your life. You are born again. The second birth, you're regenerated, you're made new, you're changed because Jesus changes you and you are born again. So here's what I'm trying to tell you today. You're either born twice and you die once, or you're only born once and you die twice. That's what awaits. If you're born twice, you're only going to have the one death. And then you're going to be raised in glory and you'll spend eternity with Jesus. But if you refuse today to be born again through Jesus, the Bible says there's a second death that's coming for you. What God desires for you today is for you to come to Him and say, Jesus, today I want to be born again. Change me. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And we're going to come to a time of response. And as you stand and as we bow our heads and as we pray here in a moment, we're going to sing. And when we sing, I want you to make the decision today to get right with God, to trust Him as your Savior. Father, Lord, we come to You and we ask this morning that You would do a work in us, that if there's anyone in this room that has never been born again, that has had that second birth, that they would come forward to Richard or myself and say, today I come to trust in Jesus. Lord, maybe today someone needs to come forward and just pray at the altar and say, God, I've not been living my life for You like I need to, and I want to live a life pleasing to You. God, may they come and make that decision. Maybe someone today wants to be baptized or to join the fellowship of our church. God, whatever decision that You are leading us in, give us the boldness today in the Holy Spirit to come forward and make those decisions. God, we trust You. Move us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come now. Don't wait. Come now.